This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
Story 1. It's been 8 years since that night, and I still won't walk into a dark kitchen alone. My name's Luis. I live, or used to live, with my mom and little brother in a small two-bedroom house on the edge of Farmington, New Mexico. It's a quiet place most of the time. You get coyotes at night, sometimes kids with fireworks around the 4th of July, but nothing really happens out there. And that's why what I saw that night still doesn't make sense. I hadn't been drinking, I hadn't been smoking. I want to say that first because that's the kind of thing people ask when they hear this story. No, I wasn't dreaming either. I remember exactly how cold the tile felt under my feet. I remember the buzz from the old fridge. I remember the stupid sticker on the light switch that said, "Jesus is watching." My mom put it there when my brother kept sneaking food at night. It was about 2:30 in the morning. I know because I checked my phone right before I got up. I'd been gaming too late and woke up crazy thirsty. Happens all the time when I stay up too long, staring at screens. My room didn't have a fan, so it was stuffy, and I was already sweaty from some weird dream I couldn't remember. So I got up, walked down the hallway toward the kitchen, no lights on, just the glow from my phone screen. The rest of the house was silent, not even the usual creaks. I didn't hear anything weird until I hit the kitchen doorway. I reached in to flick the light on, and the moment it snapped on, The exact second, that's when I saw it. There was something already standing in the middle of the kitchen. It was crouched, actually, hunched over. Its skin was this pale grayish tone, wet-looking, almost slimy, like boiled chicken. No clothes, no hair, and it was long, thin, and twisted in a way that didn't look human. I could see its ribs, and its arms were too long for its body. Its eyes, Jesus Christ, they were black, like the whole thing was pupil, no white at all, and they locked onto me as soon as the light came on. It looked right at me, and the worst part, it looked surprised, not scared, not angry, caught. We just stared at each other for maybe a second, but it felt longer, way longer. It blinked, sideways like a lizard, and then opened its mouth and let out this sound I'll never be able to unhear. It wasn't a scream or a growl. It was both and something else, almost like a broken radio trying to screech, high-pitched and wet and angry. I don't even remember deciding to move. My body just did it. I spun and bolted down the hallway, slammed my door shut, locked it, and jumped onto my bed like a little kid. I turned my music on full blast. I remember that clearly because I didn't want to hear if it followed me. I didn't want to hear it crawling or making that sound again. I blasted some random playlist, turned the lights on, and sat in the corner of my bed with my baseball bat. I stayed like that until the sun came up. I didn't sleep. I didn't move. Every little creak from the walls or pop from the pipes made my heart stop. In the morning, I tried to tell myself it was sleep paralysis or a hallucination, but I'd been awake. I'd walked into the kitchen. I flipped the switch with my own hand. I saw the light come on. I saw that thing react to the light. Here's the part that locked it in for me. When my mom got up around 7, she walked into the kitchen to start the coffee. I heard her say, "Ugh, what's this?" So I got up, real slow, and peeked down the hallway. I didn't go in, but I saw her scrubbing the wall by the pantry. There were these long, smeared streaks going from the floor up to the ceiling, like dirty handprints. But not hands. They were longer than fingers should be. Thin, like someone had dipped long spider legs into mud and dragged them up the wall. My mom thought it was some kind of grease or something my little brother got into. She scolded him, even though he swore he didn't do anything. I just kept quiet. I've never told her what I saw. Not her, not my brother, not anyone except my girlfriend years later. And she didn't believe me either. She just gave me that awkward, okay face and changed the subject. After that night, I started sleeping with a flashlight under my pillow. I stopped drinking water after 9 p.m. I never walked into the kitchen at night again, not even with the light on. If I was dying of thirst, I waited until morning. Story 2. I live in London, but in 2019, my sister Maeve and I took a trip through Ireland. She's a teacher in Dublin. I'm in IT. Nothing special. We just needed a break, a real one. No hotels, no cities. We found this little bed and breakfast in County Clare, West Coast, not far from the Burn. The kind of place you'd miss if you blinked driving past. We got there late, probably around 9. The owner was a woman in her 60s, friendly, but I don't know. There was something about her. She had this heavy stare when she handed us the key, like she was about to say something important and change her mind. Our room was upstairs, second door on the right. It was fine, a bit cold, the wallpaper peeled in corners, but it had two beds and a kettle, and we were too tired to care. I remember we sat in bed drinking tea, talking about nothing. Work, our mum, who was back in hospital again. Then we turned the lights off. That's when the radio came on. Not loud, but just enough to snap us out of that drifting moment before sleep. Static, hissing and garbled speech like someone flipping between stations. But not quite. It wasn't tuned. It didn't even sound like anything was broadcasting. Just this eerie mumbling in what I guess was Irish, but slower, stretched out, like a record played wrong. "Did you leave that on?" I asked Maeve. "No, did you?" We both leaned over. The thing was one of those old wooden bedside radios, dials instead of buttons. The switch was already off, not broken. I mean, it was set to off. I remember that clearly. I flicked it back and forth just to be sure. Nothing changed. It didn't stop until Maeve yanked the plug out of the wall. Not dramatically, more like an annoyed slap, like she was killing a fly. And then it stopped. Not gradually, not like a radio losing power. It just cut. No pop, no fade, just gone. We looked at each other, kind of smirking, like what the hell was that? I think we both thought it was some weird wiring, or maybe the power socket was faulty. I said something dumb like, old houses, right? Then came the knock, 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 knock. It came from the cupboard across from my bed. Three soft, solid thuds. Not fast, not hesitant either. Just a clear rhythm like someone letting you know they're there. Maeve sat up. I remember she whispered, did you hear that? I got out of bed. We both did. It wasn't one of those moments where you freeze. It was like being pulled toward it. The room felt smaller, thicker, like the air had weight. I walked over and opened the cupboard. It was empty, just blankets and extra pillows. But the knocking hadn't come from behind it. It had come from inside. We both heard it. Then we saw the door in the floor. It was under the blankets, a square cut into the wood, maybe 2 feet by 2 feet, with a small brass handle and hinges. Not hidden, just covered. It wasn't some creepy trap door. It looked almost normal, like it belonged there. Maeve said, is that a cellar or something? I don't know why I did it, but I reached down and touched the handle. The moment my fingers brushed it, not even pulled, just touched, the knocking stopped. Not just stopped, it ended. Like whatever was making the noise realized I knew it was there. We stared at the door. It didn't have a lock visible, but it wouldn't open. I pulled gently, then harder. Nothing. Like something was pushing back from underneath. Maeve wouldn't come closer. She kept saying, stop it. Just stop it, please. Over and over. Her voice didn't sound like her anymore. I stood up and backed away. We didn't speak after that. We didn't sleep either. I left the bedside lamp on and Maeve wrapped herself in the duvet like a cocoon. I sat upright until the sun came up. At some point, I unplugged the radio again, just to be sure. The cord was already out. When we went down for breakfast, the woman who ran the place was at the counter. She asked if we slept okay, and I couldn't bring myself to answer. I wanted her to say something, anything, a look, a warning, a joke about the old floorboard. But she just smiled like she knew we wouldn't ask. We checked out early and drove all the way to Galway that day without stopping. Here's the thing I still think about. That door wasn't dusty, the brass handle, clean. No cobwebs, no rust. Like someone had touched it recently, like someone had used it. I've never been able to find that B&B online again. I tried, even the name. I'm not sure we ever saw a proper sign outside. I don't remember booking it. Maeve thinks we found it through a paper leaflet in a pub near Ennis. I tossed that leaflet at some point. I wish I hadn't. We don't talk about it. That's not some dramatic, we made a pact thing. We just don't. Once or twice we've brought up Ireland, but we skipped that night.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get 1 full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
It's like we both silently agreed that whatever was behind that door wasn't meant to be found. Not by us, anyway. Story 3. I live in a quiet corner of Westmoreland County, Pennsylvania, kind of wedged between woods and old coal roads. The house isn't ancient or anything. It's just ordinary. Built in the late 70s, two floors, pale vinyl siding. Nothing about it screams haunted. But I'll tell you, I've never felt at ease in it. My name's Tyler. I'm 23 now, but this happened when I was about 21. During one of those dead cold January nights where the sky looks hard and silver and everything creaks. I was alone. My parents had gone to visit my aunt in Ohio for the weekend, and I had the place to myself, which I usually liked. I used to say it gave me space to breathe. Anyway, that night I was in my room upstairs, lights off except for the glow from my laptop. It was past midnight, and I had my headphones in, watching some dumb true crime docuseries. I wasn't expecting anything weird. I wasn't even thinking about the house. That came later. The first thing was small. I heard something through the headphones, like a shuffle or a footstep in the hallway outside my room. I paused the video. Nothing. I even leaned out the door to check. Lights were off and the hallway was silent. So I chalked it up to the furnace kicking on or maybe one of the old stairs settling. I went back to watching. Maybe 20 minutes passed. And I had almost forgotten about the sound when I felt this pressure behind me. Not a physical touch, more like the weight of someone standing just behind my chair. Not moving, not breathing, just there, staring. I spun around fast. Nobody, obviously. But the moment I turned back to the screen, I heard it again. A voice this time, a woman's voice, soft and weirdly cheerful, almost like someone in the next room whispering to a friend. He's not even scared. I froze. The voice came from my left, outside my bedroom, maybe down the stairs. I sat perfectly still. I thought maybe I imagined it, but my stomach dropped in that way it does when you know something just went sideways. I whispered, "Hello?" And then, like right on cue, a man's voice, lower, sharper. It cut through the air like it had teeth. "He will be." I stood up so fast the chair nearly tipped. I didn't care how stupid it felt. I turned on every light upstairs. Hallway, bathroom, spare room. Empty. The stairs creaked as I walked down, heart hammering, trying to rationalize. Maybe the TV had unpaused or something, or maybe I'd fallen asleep and dreamt it. Then I noticed something that made my mouth go dry. The front door was unlocked. I never forget to lock it. It was one of those old habits my dad drilled into me. I locked the door every single time, even if I'm just grabbing something from the car. But it was fully unlatched, wide enough that a wind could have pushed it open. I stepped back. I didn't open it wider. I didn't touch the knob. From upstairs, from my bedroom, I heard laughter. Not loud, but clear. It was the same woman's voice, just closer now. And it wasn't menacing, exactly. It sounded playful, like someone laughing at a joke I didn't hear. I should have run. I should have walked out and never come back. But I didn't. I was too rattled to think straight. Instead, I went up slowly, gripping the railing like a weapon. My bedroom door was closed. That freaked me out more than anything. I never close my door when I'm home alone. Ever. I could see the soft light from my laptop flickering beneath it, so it was still on, but everything else was dead quiet. I didn't go in. Instead, I went into the bathroom across the hall and did what I hadn't done since I was a kid. I locked the door, turned off the light, sat in the bathtub, and pulled a blanket over my head. Yeah, it sounds ridiculous. I know it does. But something about being in the dark, under the blanket, felt safer than being exposed in a lit room. I tried texting my mom. No signal. Tried calling. Nothing. My heart was pounding in my ears. I felt cold all over. And then came the whisper. Right by my ear, like it was crouching next to the tub. Do what you want. We know you're still there. I stopped breathing. I didn't scream. I didn't move. I stayed frozen under that blanket, every muscle in my body locked up. It wasn't the words, it was the way it said them. Like it knew I was scared. Like it was enjoying it. Like I was something to be watched, toyed with. Not hurt, not yet.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
Just seen. And the worst part, there was no breath with the voice. No heat, no shift of air, just the words. I sat in that tub until sunrise. When the light finally pushed through the bathroom window, I unlocked the door and went straight outside. I didn't even grab my coat. I waited in the car until my parents got back later that afternoon. They believed me, or at least said they did. My mom burned sage. My dad changed the locks and put up cameras. Nothing ever showed up on them. And the voices? I haven't heard them again. But I never sleep with my door closed anymore. And I never ever sit with my back to an open room. Story 4. I grew up in central Indiana, a small town no one's heard of unless you're from there. One of those places with a Walmart, a high school, and a million cornfields. My house was a basic two-story ranch, nothing fancy, built in the 70s with those ugly yellow tiles in the kitchen and a basement that always smelled like mildew. I was 14 when this happened, not younger, not older. 14 exactly, and I remember that because it was just a couple weeks after my birthday when everything went to hell. My bedroom was upstairs across from the only bathroom that had a shower. My brother Ryan had the room next to mine. We used to share the bathroom schedule. He'd go first, then me. That night, he'd already brushed his teeth and gone to bed. I remember him slamming his door shut like he always did, then blasting music through his headphones. He didn't hear a thing. I wasn't thinking about anything weird. I wasn't scared. It was just a normal school night. Wednesday, I was brushing my teeth, scrolling through my phone with one hand, spitting foam in the sink with the other. The bathroom light was humming like always. That old yellow bulb made the whole room look dingy no matter how clean it was. Then right before I turned off the tap, I heard this soft snick, like a quick sound of fabric shifting. I glanced over, and I swear on everything, the shower curtain moved. Just a little. Not even a full sway. Just a twitch. Like someone was adjusting their footing behind it. At first I just froze. Not scared, more like annoyed. I thought it was Ryan trying to mess with me, like he sometimes did. He used to hide under my bed or behind doors and jump out. One time he even put on Mom's robe and freaked me out pretending to be a ghost. So I rolled my eyes, grabbed the edge of the shower curtain, and said, "I saw you, dumbass." Then I yanked it open fast, like trying to catch him in the act. But it wasn't Ryan. There was a woman standing there. Not standing exactly, hunched. Her back was crooked like her spine was bent the wrong way, and her arms were too long, hanging past her knees. She had this old, washed-out nightgown on, and her skin looked like paper soaked in tea. Brownish, sagging, almost peeling in some places. Her hair was thin and matted to her face, like she'd just climbed out of a drain. But what I remember most were her eyes. They were open wide, too wide, like the lids didn't work right. Her irises were milky white, but there was something behind them. I don't even know how to describe it. Not blind, just wrong. Like she saw me, like she'd been seeing me. She didn't move, didn't blink. Just stood there, crouched in the tub, looking straight at me. I couldn't scream at first. My brain locked up. My legs weren't moving. I remember this insane rush of heat in my ears and chest, like my body was trying to run but couldn't. Then she grinned. That's what snapped me. It wasn't a human smile. Her mouth was dry and cracked, and when it stretched open, it made this tearing sound, like paper ripping. I screamed, like actual scream, loud enough that my throat hurt. I backed up so fast I slipped and slammed into the sink cabinet, then bolted out the door and crashed into the hallway wall. Ryan came out of his room, pulling off his headphones. "What the hell's your problem?" I was gasping, trying to say it, but nothing came out except, "Someone's in the shower." He looked at me like I was messing with him. "You're kidding." "Number no, I'm not. There's a woman. She's in there. Go look." He rolled his eyes but stepped into the bathroom. "You probably just saw your reflection or some..." Then he stopped talking. He stood there for a second, staring at the open curtain and the empty tub. Then he looked back at me and said, "There's nobody here." I swear I couldn't even move closer to the door. I just stood in the hallway, heart hammering, waiting for her to step out again, waiting for him to start screaming too. But nothing happened. Ryan checked the closet, the hallway, even the window. It was locked. No footprints, no wet floor, nothing disturbed. She wasn't there. She was just gone. But I saw her. I didn't imagine it. That wasn't a shadow or a dream or some stupid trick of the light. That woman was real. She looked straight at me. She smiled. I couldn't use that bathroom again after that. Not once. I'd wait till morning and use the one downstairs. If someone was in the upstairs bathroom, I wouldn't even knock. I'd just leave. My parents thought I was being dramatic, but I didn't care. They didn't see her. Story 5. I'd just gotten to Seoul for the summer, staying with relatives in this old apartment complex on the outskirts. The place wasn't nice. Walls that could use a fresh coat of paint, fluorescent lights flickering half the time, and the smell of stale air that you couldn't quite shake. I hated the fact that I was stuck there, but hey, it was family. One night, around midnight, I got a sudden craving for ice cream. I thought, why not? And decided to run down to the little convenience store by the entrance. No big deal. I've walked those streets 100 times, even when it was late. I grabbed the ice cream and started to head back up to my apartment. The usual routine. The elevator was at the far end of the complex. I walked down the dim hallway, the walls showing signs of age with faint stains on the carpet. When I reached the elevator, I pressed the button for my floor and stood there, waiting. The elevator came, the doors opened, everything was fine. I stepped in, pressed the button for my floor, and waited for the doors to close. But before they could, the elevator lurched and started moving. It stopped. The doors opened again, but not on my floor. They opened on the floor above me. At first, I thought it was a glitch. Maybe it was a mistake, or the elevator was malfunctioning. But then I saw her, a woman. I didn't even know how to describe her. She was standing by the stairs, just standing there in the dim light, completely still. She was wearing this old-fashioned white dress, the kind you'd expect to see in a horror movie. Her hair was long and dark, hanging in strands that almost blended into the darkness around her. Her face? Well, I couldn't see it. She was too far away, too shrouded in shadow. But I didn't need to see her face to feel that something was wrong. She wasn't moving at all. She wasn't looking at me. She was just standing there, like she was waiting for something or someone. I should have gotten out of the elevator then. I should have pressed the button for the lobby and run out of the building, but I couldn't. The door was still open, and I was frozen in place. I could hear the elevator creaking, the sound of it grinding against its old cables. The moment felt endless. Then a weird thing happened. The elevator doors started to close, and I braced myself for them to reopen again. But they didn't. They stayed shut, and the elevator lurched again, like it was trying to start moving. I heard the crick of the metal doors against the frame. I'm not sure how long I was there, but it felt like forever. It wasn't until the doors finally shut completely that I could breathe again, but I didn't feel any better. The whole time I couldn't stop thinking about her. That woman. Why was she just standing there? Why didn't she move? The elevator made its slow ascent, the creaky metal groaning as it crawled up the building. My heart was racing. Every floor it passed made the dread in my stomach grow. Finally, the doors opened on my floor. I couldn't get out fast enough. I didn't even bother to look down the hallway. I just bolted straight to my door. My hands were shaking as I fumbled for the keys. I don't even remember locking the door behind me, but I did. I stayed up that night, didn't sleep a wink. I kept thinking about that woman, her stillness, the way she didn't move, didn't even seem to notice me, the way the elevator had opened on her floor. But I'd never seen her before in the building. I'd never seen anyone in that dress. I don't know what it was that night. I don't know if I was tired or if the whole thing was some weird trick of the mind. But I'm telling you, I haven't been able to shake it. Maybe it was nothing. Maybe it was my mind playing tricks on me. But I can't explain why it felt so damn real. Story 6. It was supposed to be another normal night hanging out in the field behind Gabby's house. We were teenagers, restless, doing what teens do best. Being loud and dumb in the middle of nowhere. The kind of place where streetlights don't reach, and the only sound you can hear is the rustle of the trees and the occasional car passing miles away. It was 1:30 a.m., and we'd been out there for hours. I don't know why we did it. It wasn't even fun anymore. But we were still there, just standing around, talking, laughing, whatever. Then Gabby, who was always the one to notice things, suddenly said, "What the fuck is that?" None of us thought much of it at first. It was just Gabby being Gabby, always getting freaked out about something. But this time, we all turned to look. There on the ground, just a few feet away, was something. Something big. At first, I thought it was just a shadow or some animal. But no, it wasn't like anything I'd ever seen. It looked like a person, but it wasn't. Not really. The thing was lying next to Gabby's dog and cat, both of them frozen in place. They weren't moving. They weren't barking. The silence was suffocating. It was almost like the air itself was still, as if everything in the world had just stopped. I could barely see the creature, but what I could make out were its glowing red eyes. Not like a reflection or a flash of light. These eyes were glowing, solid, like they were part of it. We froze. My heart was pounding in my ears. Gabby's voice barely broke the silence when she screamed, "Get the fuck out of here!" And that's when it hit us. We were all terrified. Everyone started screaming, running. But I couldn't move at first. I just stared at it. I could feel it staring back at me. But it wasn't just my eyes. It was like something deeper, something I can't explain, was looking right through me. I don't know why I turned around. I could have kept running, I should have, but I did. I turned just for a second to see if my friends were behind me. That's when I saw it. It wasn't lying down anymore. The thing was standing. It was massive. The closest thing I can compare it to is, well, imagine something that tall but wrong. It must have been at least 7 feet, maybe more. It had broad, unnatural shoulders that looked like they were too wide for a normal person, and its skin, or whatever it was, seemed stretched, almost like it didn't fit. It didn't have any clothes, no hair, just this horrible, smooth surface that made me shiver in the pit of my stomach. But the worst part, the thing I can't forget, was the wings. I don't know if they were real wings or just parts of its body, but there were these jagged, membranous appendages extending out from its back. They didn't move, at least not at first, but I saw them. They were huge, unnaturally wide. And they looked like something you'd see in a nightmare. They didn't even make sense. I didn't even know what I was looking at. I couldn't comprehend it. It wasn't just the size or the shape. It was something in the air around it. Something oppressive that made everything feel wrong. Like the ground itself was holding its breath. I snapped out of my stupor when I heard Gabby's voice again. This time shrill, desperate. "Run! What the fuck is that?" I didn't need another second. I turned and sprinted. It felt like my legs were moving in slow motion, but I kept running. I could hear the others too, the sound of feet pounding the ground, the heavy breaths, the wild, panicked shouting. It all blurred together. I didn't stop until I was back in Gabby's house, slamming the door behind me, gasping for breath. We didn't talk for a long time after that. I think we all just processed it in silence. But none of us could explain it. Not then, not now. We talked about it a few times after, but it was always in whispers. What we saw, we didn't know. We didn't even want to know. All I know is that it wasn't human, and it wasn't anything I've seen in any movie or read in any book. It was something else, something that shouldn't exist. Story 7. It was a Wednesday evening, around 9:30 p.m. I was sitting in my living room in the apartment I've been renting for the last 2 years. The place is quiet, nothing unusual. Just the hum of the fridge and the soft glow of the TV lighting up the space. I had been scrolling through some random shows when I felt it. A sharp, almost electric pain running across the back of my neck, like a jolt of electricity had pierced my skin. I froze. My body tensed up, but what hit me next was even worse. A deep, almost nauseating sensation that something wasn't right. Like a presence had suddenly entered the room without me noticing. My mind couldn't make sense of it at first. The pain was like nothing I'd ever felt before. It wasn't a muscle cramp or a pinched nerve. It was something far more invasive. I stood up, reaching behind my neck to rub at the spot, thinking maybe I had somehow pulled a muscle or gotten a weird cramp. But when my fingers brushed against my skin, I felt something wrong. Something more than just muscle tension. I stumbled over to the bathroom mirror, barely able to keep my balance. I was expecting to see some redness or irritation, but what I saw left me frozen in place, staring at my reflection. 5 distinct, deep indentations marked the back of my neck. They were perfectly spaced out, the kind of pattern you might expect if someone had placed their fingertips there, pressing hard into my skin. But no one had been near me. No one had touched me. I reached up, my hands trembling, to touch the wounds, expecting to feel warm skin or even blood. But there was nothing. They were cold, like the skin around them had gone numb. They almost looked too perfect, too deliberate. I could feel my pulse pounding in my ears, my heart racing as I tried to make sense of it. The worst part was that I hadn't felt anyone there. No one had entered my apartment. I had been alone, completely alone. Yet the marks, those damn marks, were impossible to explain. There were no sharp objects near me. The only thing that could have caused something like this would be some kind of force, a pressure, like hands pressing into my neck. But I hadn't felt it. I'm not a person who believes in aliens or supernatural things. I don't even like to think about that stuff. I've always thought people who do are just looking for explanations for things they don't understand. But looking at those marks on my neck, I can't explain it. I didn't know who to call, or even if I should tell anyone. I sat down on the edge of the bathtub, staring at my reflection in disbelief. My mind raced through every possibility, every logical explanation, but none of them fit. I'd been sitting on my couch. Nothing had happened. No windows had been open. The only thing I could think of was that maybe I'd imagined it. Maybe the marks were just some weird coincidence. But deep down, I knew it wasn't that. It felt far too real. I ended up sitting there for a while, unable to move, unable to think. The feeling of being watched, of something hovering over me, never left. It lingered in the corners of the room, in the air around me. The only sound was the faint buzzing of the TV in the other room. I wanted to go to bed to try and forget about it, but I knew I wouldn't be able to. I didn't sleep that night. Not a wink. The marks on my neck were still there in the morning, but they had changed. They were fading, yes, but not completely gone. It looked like they had been imprinted on my skin, not just superficial scratches, but something deeper. I still didn't know what to make of it. I haven't been able to shake the feeling ever since. I've moved the couch, checked the locks, made sure all the windows are shut, but nothing feels the same. I know it's irrational, but every night when I sit in my living room, I can't help but feel like there's something or someone watching me. And I know that mark, those marks, aren't just something I'll ever be able to explain. I don't know what happened that night, but I can tell you one thing for sure. I've never felt more unsettled in my own home. Story 8. I was 10 years old and my family and I were on vacation in Thailand, a place I'd never imagined visiting. I remember the heat, the sound of the waves crashing against the shore, and the smell of something unfamiliar in the air, like spices mixed with salt and a slight mustiness from the humidity. We were staying at a small inn near a beach, not some luxurious resort, but a charming little place with weathered wooden walls and narrow pathways. The atmosphere felt laid back, not touristy, and everything about it made me feel both curious and comfortable. We'd spent most of the day exploring the area, eating some delicious street food, and visiting a few local attractions. By the time the evening came around, we decided to grab a bite at a restaurant nearby. It wasn't anything fancy. It was one of those places where you could tell the food was good, but it was also just a local spot, not trying to impress anyone. My parents were talking to the waiter, and I was busy with my meal, trying the different flavors I'd never experienced before. By the time I was done, I needed to use the restroom. I had never been one to wait long for things like that. I was still a kid, impatient, and definitely not someone who'd stand around if I didn't have to. So I got up, told my parents I'd be right back, and made my way down the narrow hallway toward the bathroom at the back of the restaurant. It wasn't a big place, and the restroom was the only one in the building. When I got there, the door was locked. No big deal, right? I figured someone was inside, probably one of the other customers. I didn't think much of it at first, but I waited a few minutes. I knocked lightly on the door, thinking maybe they didn't hear me. No response. I looked around, slightly annoyed. It was a small restaurant, and there weren't many people around. The wait staff was busy, but nobody seemed to be in the hallway with me. So I stood there for a while, just waiting. I didn't hear anything. No flushing, no water running, not even footsteps. It was weird, but I thought maybe the person inside was just taking their sweet time. I waited another 5 minutes. The silence was starting to get to me. I wasn't used to waiting around for something as simple as a bathroom. Eventually, I felt that restless feeling start to creep up on me. That's when I noticed the keyhole. I don't know why, but I felt this compulsion to lean over and look through it. Maybe I thought I'd see the person inside and realize they'd just been slow to finish up. It seemed harmless enough. After all, what could I possibly see through a little keyhole? A wall? A closed door? It didn't make sense, but I pushed my face up close to the small hole, and that's when everything changed. At first, I didn't see anything, just the dim, almost ghostly light from the restroom's small window. I blinked and squinted, unsure of what I was expecting. But then, out of nowhere, I saw something move. It wasn't like I saw a figure or a shadow. No, it was much more subtle than that. There, in the far corner of my view, just a little beyond where the wall met the doorframe, I saw an eye. It was wide open, staring directly at me. I froze. I'm not talking about a flash of movement or a trick of light. This was real. I saw a dark round pupil, surrounded by the white of an eye. It was wide open, but it wasn't just staring blankly. It was aware. It felt aware. And it was looking at me. My heart skipped a beat, and for a moment I couldn't move. I couldn't look away, but I couldn't understand why I was seeing it. I mean, who was inside? There wasn't anyone else in the restaurant that I knew of, and it was just a simple bathroom. I didn't think to knock again. I didn't think to call out. Instead, I stood there, my breath stuck in my throat, eyes glued to that eye. I couldn't explain it. Why was it there? Who was it attached to? Was there someone hiding in the restroom? I didn't move. I didn't even blink at first. My thoughts were racing, trying to piece it together. But before I could make sense of it, the eye blinked. Once, just once. It was slow, deliberate, like it knew I was there, watching. I'm not sure how long it stayed open before that blink. It could have been seconds. It could have been longer. But that blink was the moment everything in me screamed run. I didn't have a reason to stay anymore, and without thinking, I turned on my heel and bolted out of there. I don't remember exactly how I got back to my parents, but I know I didn't stop to explain what I saw. I just walked up to them, shaking, and without saying a word, I grabbed my dad's arm and tugged. I think my mom noticed something was off, but I couldn't bring myself to say it out loud. I felt dizzy, like I was losing my grip on reality. Was it some kind of prank? Maybe the restroom was occupied and someone was hiding. But no, no, it wasn't that. It couldn't have been. It was too strange, too deliberate. "Can we go?" I remember asking, my voice shaking. My dad looked at me, a little confused, but didn't question me further. They paid for the meal, and we left without another word. I can still remember the feeling of the eye locked on mine, that weird, unblinking stare, and the eerie stillness of the restaurant. I can't explain it, and over the years, I've tried to make sense of it. But the truth is, I don't think I'll ever be able to. What happened in that restroom? Who or what was in there? It's a question that's haunted me ever since. I've told a few people about it over the years, but no one really believes me. They laugh it off, dismiss it as just a trick of the light or some weird coincidence. But I know what I saw, and I don't think it was anything that could be explained away so easily. I don't ever want to go back to that place. I don't ever want to know what was behind that door. Sometimes I wonder if I really saw it, or if I was just a scared kid seeing things. But then I remember the feeling, the cold, sinking feeling in my stomach, the way my heart raced when that eye blinked. And I know it wasn't just my imagination. Story 9. I didn't expect to be so scared that night. I was used to being alone in that house, used to the creaking floorboards, the drafty corners, and the stillness that would creep in after dark. The kind of stillness that wasn't comforting, but unsettling. But that night, something was different, and I'm still not sure if I'll ever fully understand it. The house itself was old. It sat alone on a hill, surrounded by acres of dense forest. You could hear the wind rustling the trees even when the air was still. The windows rattled a little when it got gusty, and sometimes you'd hear things that weren't really there. The kind of sounds that made you second-guess your senses, like someone was walking around upstairs when no one was home, or a door creaking open on its own. But that night, I knew something wasn't right. I'd been in my room for hours, mindlessly scrolling through my phone, when the first strange noise hit. It was faint at first, almost like a tapping, like fingernails scratching against the wood. It came from the hallway. I tried to ignore it. Maybe it was just the house settling, or the wind catching something outside. But the tapping grew louder, more deliberate. My heart started beating faster. I sat up on the bed, staring at the door. The tapping stopped, but then came the softest sound, just on the edge of hearing. The floorboards creaked, not like a normal creak, but slow, heavy, like someone was walking across the hall, each step deliberate and purposeful. It wasn't my imagination, I knew that. I got up slowly, my feet cold on the floor, and tiptoed toward the door. I didn't want to make any noise. I just wanted to know if someone had broken in or if it was just my mind playing tricks. But when I peeked through the crack in the door, I saw nothing. The hallway was empty, no sign of anyone. Relief flooded through me, but the unease didn't go away. I stood there for a moment, staring at the empty hallway, trying to shake the feeling that something was wrong. It was just the house settling, right? That's what I kept telling myself. I went back to my bed, but it was hard to focus on anything with that nagging feeling at the back of my mind. I kept looking at the clock. It was just past 11:30. The silence in the house felt heavier than usual, thicker, like it was pressing in from all sides. I pulled the blankets up, trying to make myself feel safe, but it didn't work. Then the shadow appeared. At first, it was just a shape in the corner of my vision, standing in the doorway. I thought maybe it was a trick of the light or my tired eyes playing games with me. But when I looked directly at it, my stomach dropped. It wasn't human, at least not in the way I understood human. The figure was tall, unnaturally so. It was wearing a cloak, black, thick, and flowing. But it wasn't moving like fabric should. It was floating. The edges of the cloak seemed to shimmer, like it wasn't fully there, like it was a part of the darkness itself. And in the space where its face should have been, nothing. Just a blank void, an emptiness that seemed to swallow all light. I froze. I didn't move. I couldn't. It was like something in my brain shut off. My body went numb, and all I could do was watch. The thing didn't move at first. It just stood there in the doorway, almost like it was waiting for something. For me to do something, maybe. I didn't know what it wanted, I didn't know what it was. I didn't want to know. My breath came out in shallow gasps, but I couldn't make any sound. I couldn't scream. I couldn't move. The silence in the room felt suffocating now, thicker than ever, like the air was pressing in on me, squeezing me. Then the thing shifted, slowly, deliberately. It started gliding toward me, its steps too smooth, too fluid. No footsteps, no sound, just the faintest whisper of movement. I wanted to back away, to run, but I couldn't. I was rooted to the spot, frozen in fear. As it got closer, the air turned cold. Really cold, like ice in my lungs, freezing the very breath in my chest. My skin prickled with the kind of cold you can't escape, the kind that seeps into your bones and makes you feel like you're in a grave, like you're already dead. The figure stopped just outside the reach of the bed. I could feel it staring at me, even though I couldn't see any eyes. There was no face, just that darkness, that void where its features should have been. But it was looking at me. I felt it looking at me. It was inside my head, scraping at the edges of my thoughts, filling my mind with an emptiness I couldn't shake. I wanted to scream. I wanted to run, but I couldn't. I was trapped, in my own body, unable to do a single thing. And all I could think was that if I blinked, if I moved, if I even breathed too loud, it would come closer. It would, what? Take me? Kill me? I didn't know, but I didn't want to find out. But then, just as suddenly as it appeared, it was gone. 1 second it was there, towering over me, and the next, nothing. The air grew warm again, and the silence was broken by the creak of the old house settling. I was left sitting there in my bed, gasping for breath, drenched in sweat. I didn't move for a long time. I didn't want to. I wasn't sure if it was gone for good. I didn't want to test it. I didn't want to know if it could come back. My parents got home later that night, and I didn't tell them what happened. I didn't tell anyone. It didn't seem like anyone would believe me anyway. How could they? How could anyone understand what I saw? It wasn't something I could explain. It wasn't something I could ever forget. But I don't think I'm ever going to be the same after that. Story 10. It was a regular Wednesday night, nothing out of the ordinary. At least that's what I thought. I lived in a rambling, two-story house on the outskirts of a small town in Australia, an old thing built in the 70s. The walls were thin, the floors creaked, and there was always a draft that made the house feel colder than it should, even on warm nights. Everyone who came over would mention how charming the place was, but there was something about it that didn't sit right with me. I couldn't shake the feeling that something wasn't normal, like there was something lurking just beyond the walls, something waiting. I didn't like to admit it to anyone, but it made me uneasy, always. The whole night had been pretty average. I was upstairs playing with my dog, just messing around as usual. It had been a couple of weeks since we'd started getting new carpets laid in the house, so there was a lot of disruption, a lot of sounds I wasn't used to. The old carpet had been stripped away, and what was left was that thin, spongy underlayer with a papery texture. It made the house feel even more fragile than it already was, like everything was exposed, stripped back. There was something about it that just didn't sit right. Anyway, I'd been playing fetch with my dog for a while, and she'd eventually fallen asleep on the couch downstairs. I decided to go upstairs and check on something. Nothing major, just a random errand I didn't even really need to do. But I was restless. The stairs creaked beneath my feet as I made my way up, the house unusually quiet. I could hear the faint hum of the fridge downstairs and the slight tapping sound of the wind against the windows. But otherwise, everything was still. Halfway up the stairs, though, that's when I heard it. It was subtle at first, like a soft rustling sound. But then it grew clearer. It was coming from the hallway above, the direction of my parents' room. At first, I thought it might have been the dog moving around downstairs. But no, the sound was too distinct. It sounded like someone running across that thin, papery underlayer of the carpet downstairs. I stopped. My heart jumped into my throat, my mind racing. I had been home alone. I checked the time, 11:30 p.m. Everyone else was out for the evening. My dog was downstairs asleep. There was no one else in the house. I strained my ears trying to listen closely, and sure enough, it was unmistakable. Running, rapid footsteps moving across that thin layer of carpet. It was hard to pinpoint exactly what it was about the sound that froze me in place, but it was that unnerving quality, the sense that I was hearing something I shouldn't be, something that didn't belong. I wasn't imagining it. I could hear it clearly, faint but distinct. Step after step, it echoed faintly as though someone or something was pacing, moving, even running, in the hallway below me. My breath hitched, and instinctively, my eyes shot toward the top of the stairs, where the hallway stretched toward my parents' room. The door was open just a crack, the darkness of the room beyond barely visible, but I could swear I saw the faintest movement at the threshold, just enough to make me question if I was really seeing things. I didn't know if I was just terrified or if my brain was playing tricks, but something didn't feel right. Something wasn't right. I took a few hesitant steps toward the hallway, barely breathing, my body frozen, unwilling to move yet desperate to know what was going on. The sound continued, soft, quick footsteps skimming the surface of the underlayer of carpet. I kept my gaze fixed on the darkened room, trying to convince myself it was just my imagination. Just the house settling, or the wind, or something that could explain it. But deep down, I knew better. I couldn't move. I was caught between wanting to run and wanting to investigate. I decided to check. My feet moved on their own as I silently crept toward the top of the stairs, my mind racing with every step. As I reached the hallway, the sound stopped abruptly, and I froze.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
There was no movement, no more rustling. But that was worse, wasn't it? It was like everything had stopped, as though someone or something was waiting for me. My hands were shaking as I slowly edged closer to my parents' room, barely daring to breathe. The door was cracked open, just a sliver, but I could see inside. I expected nothing, maybe just a pile of clothes on the floor or a flickering light. But what I saw wasn't anything like that. There was a light in the room, faint and almost ethereal, but it wasn't coming from any source I could identify. It wasn't a lamp or anything plugged into the wall. It was a strange glowing mist, swirling, shifting in a way that didn't make sense. It wasn't bright, but it was enough to make the entire room feel wrong. It was the kind of light you'd expect to see in a science fiction movie, like something from Doctor Who. But this wasn't a show. This was real. This wasn't something my brain was making up either. I stood there, heart pounding, unable to look away. The glow seemed to flicker, twisting and turning like something alive, something intelligent. It didn't seem to have a shape, but I could feel it, moving in and out of focus as if it were playing tricks on me. And then, as quickly as it had appeared, it vanished. Just like that. Gone. The silence that followed was suffocating. The air felt thick, like it was pressing in from all sides. I couldn't breathe, couldn't move. I wanted to scream, but the words were stuck in my throat. My mind was a mess of questions and panic. Was it a glitch in my vision? A trick of the light? Or had I just witnessed something I shouldn't have seen? I didn't stay to figure it out. I turned and ran, fast, before I could talk myself out of it. I bolted down the stairs, nearly tripping over my own feet as I raced toward the front door. I didn't care if anyone was home. I didn't care if I was being irrational. All I wanted was to get out. I grabbed the door handle, heart still thudding in my chest, but it wouldn't budge. The door was locked. Of course, it was locked. It always was at night. The panic surged higher. I couldn't stay here. I couldn't be in that house anymore. The feeling that something was watching me, that something was waiting, hadn't left. It was like there was a presence in the house. Something that I hadn't noticed before, but now couldn't escape. I don't remember how long I stood there shaking, but eventually I found my keys and fumbled my way out. I left. I never went back alone after that night. I don't know what I saw in that room, but I know it wasn't something I can explain. And the worst part? I haven't seen anything like it since.